to the second coming of Christ, I'm looking forward to the rapture. Then the second coming of Christ will come after the tribulation period. At the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5, but he said, now this is after chapter 4 in verses 13 to the end of that chapter, you have the rapture of the church there, and you get the church off of the planet here. Then you come in chapter 5, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, now the day of the Lord is takes place right after the rapture of the church, and it'll be a 7-year period of tribulation that's going to take place. I'm glad I'm not going to be here for that. I rejoice in that. But tonight, after that 7 years of tribulation, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, you have the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first coming when he was born in Bethlehem, the second coming when his feet will land on the Mount of Olives in Israel. But tonight I want to deal with here why is he coming back? Why is he coming back to earth? We'll be caught up. We'll be with the Lord in heaven. And I want to give you what I believe are 4 primary reasons for the second coming of Jesus Christ tonight. Now, if you take your Bibles and leave there and go with me to the book of Genesis and go there to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, you have what I believe is the first reason, one of the first reasons. I don't think we can say one is more important than the other. I don't know that. I'll leave that one to God. But over here, you have the restoration of Israel as a nation. The restoration of Israel. That's the first reason, I believe, that he's coming. Second is the retribution of the nations. The nations have shaken their fist in the face of God, and America is one of them shaking his fist pretty strong. We don't need God in our country anymore. And so we recognize that. Third, the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Now, that reign of Christ primarily is fulfillment of God's promises he made with the nation of Israel. And he will come back and reign, and Israel will blossom and be that great. And the reign on the earth, remove the curse from the earth. I'll get it right. All right. And to remove the curse from the earth there. We're going to deal with that. Now, first of all, as you go to 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, that's where I want you to go. I want you to notice, first of all, those first 3 verses, and he's going to give us 4 I wills in that verse. Now, this is God has made a covenant. The first church that I ever pastored was in California in 1969, so that puts me in a ministry over 50-something years, 52 coming up. And I remember well that when I became the pastor of this church in the mountains of Cambria, California, along the coast, a beautiful place. And we had 30 people that attended that church. 15 were members and 15 were not members. The Lord allows to build that church up to a couple hundred by God's grace. I give him all the glory. But the reason why the other 15 did not join our church is because they believed that God was, they believed 2 things that I believe was false doctrine. One, that once you're saved, you can't sin. Well, I got news for you. That's right out of the pit of hell, because you can sin and you got to deal with those sin days. The other is that God was through with Israel because they crucified the Lord. Well, I crucified the Lord. You crucified the Lord, our sins. And I got news for you. That also was the reasons why they would not join, and we wouldn't let them join. Couldn't join with false doctrine. But I come over here and God's making some promises here. I want you to notice the 4 I wills of God's promises there in verse 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee. Now he makes 4 I wills. The first one deals with the place God will give them. I will make of thee a great nation there. I will show thee the land that I will show thee. And then here, the land that I'll show thee in the first I will, and we see that here, I will show thee the land that I will show thee. Now, Israel is the land that God has given them is Israel. Now, we're going to move on to that because I want to tell you, the greatest country that ever existed is not America. It's Israel. It's the only country I find in Scripture that God will bring back to life and restore that country. So he, first of all, the first is the place God will give them. I'll get into a land that I will show thee. Second is the people, what the people that they will become. Notice the second I will in verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. So that's the second I will. I'll make of thee a great, that's the people they will become. No nation has ever been greater than Israel in God's eyes. That little speck on the map there, surrounded by all those Arab nations, that if they had their way, they would annihilate Israel. Pardon my grammar, that ain't going to happen. Because God is in charge. Notice not only the first I will, the place God will give them, a land that I'll show them. Secondly, the people will become, I'll make of thee a great nation. And notice the third one, I will bless thee and make thee thy name great. The preeminence they will have. No nation has been greater than Israel. It's a preeminent nation because God has made it such. And the fourth one, the power they will have. And this is tremendous truth here. Look there in the fourth one, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And all and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now get that. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Now there are three reasons I'm convinced why America has been a great nation. One, because we were founded on Bible principles. Number two, because out from this nation have been sent more missionaries than any other nation. But the most important reason is our respect for Israel. Our respect for Israel. Now, I don't know where your political party is tonight, but I want to talk about a great Democrat. That is awful hard to do that one today, isn't it? But I want you to know Truman was the one responsible to recognize Israel as a nation, and he was the first world leader that said Israel has a right to be a nation and we're going to back them up. And God has blessed America from that point on more than any other nation, because and the nations that are cursed, certainly Russia is under the curse, Germany is under the curse. All the Arab nations are under the curse, and Europe is under the curse for the slaughter of the Israel people. So I want you to see the restoration. But first, I want you to notice the four I wills. But now let me give you sevenfold reason why Israel has been greatly used of God. It's a miracle. I call it the seven miracles of Israel. Seven miracles of Israel. I want you to notice this. First of all, the reward to the nations that bless Israel. That's the first miracle. You show me any America is blessed because of their standing with Israel. Already said it. And I'm often worried today because I know that we have an administration that will forsake Israel and will support the enemies of Israel. And I will tell you today that's the judgment of God upon our country. I pray daily for our leaders of this country. And I'm praying, whether you like it or not, if you don't like it, get your liker fixed. But I'm praying our president and our vice president will be replaced by leaders who will respect this nation of Israel because it is God. So the reward to the nations that God, the nations that bless Israel. And I believe America is great because what we've done for Israel, no, but what Israel's done for us. God has blessed Israel because of what has taken place. That's miracle number one. You think about it. Miracle number two is retribution to those nations that stand against Israel. I've mentioned them already. Any nation that stands against Israel is in real trouble. I mentioned this to you before. I do not find America anywhere in Bible prophecy. I don't find it anywhere. I find China. I find the Arab nations. I find Europe. I find Russia, I can go on and on, but I don't find America. And folks, I wonder if they're at the last, God is saying, because you have turned your back on Israel. That may happen. That may happen. I don't know. I'm not going to prophesy anything. But I know right now, we're our prosperity, our protection is teetering right now because of what has taken place. So keep in mind. So we have first one is the reward to the nations that bless Israel, and America is at the top of the list all these years. Second one is the retribution of those to those nations that stand against Israel. The third miracle is the rebirth of Israel as a nation. I want you to turn with me for a moment. Now, I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel, and I want you to go there to chapter 38. 37, pardon me. You just turn where I mean, not where I told you. I want you to turn there, if you will, please, to chapter 37. Now, Israel in 1948, God did a tremendous thing. He reformed Israel as a nation, put them back together in 1948. But let me stop here. Do not think that this is the prophecy fulfilled in this text, in its fullness. What took place in 1948 due to a Democratic president who backed them up, what happened was there was a secular regathering of Israel. But the passage is mentioned in chapter 38 is yet to come. It will rebirth as a spiritual nation one day. Right now, it's not a spiritual nation. Why? Because they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And one day, they will, like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, when he realized that the Jesus he persecuted was none other than the Jehovah he wished to worship. But I come over to this chapter here, and I see some things here. Look there in verse 1. And look there, then the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now underline the word bones because he's referring to Israel. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live again? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And then he says in verse 4, and he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to come into you, and you shall live. Now you have the bones, you have the breath, you also have the body. Look in verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you and will bring you up on your flesh, upon you, and cover you with skin, you and breathe in you, and you'll become a great. Now, what's this referring to? Look there in verse 11. Go all the way down to verse 11. I don't have time to deal with everything here, but I want to deal with this. Look at verse, who's he talking about? So I verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy unto them this, saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves, will cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And Israel one day will be reborn. That's what a birth is about, life. Right now, it's dead. Israel is dead. They're dead. By the way, if you're here without Jesus Christ, guess what? You're dead too. You're dead too. They're dead as a nation. You're dead as an individual. You should know that I am the Lord, which had opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. See, the problem with Israel today, it's in the land, but it does not have the breath of God, the breath of the time when the Lord will, they are recognized, and he will bring life to, take them out of their graves. And all the, by the way, I want you to understand something. Most of prophecy, 99.9%, is centered around Israel. And what nations will attack Israel, God will judge them, and those because Israel. So you have the rebirth. Now, we had a nation born, and many people in prophecy will say, that's a fulfillment of this passage. No, I don't think so. Because they are not alive spiritually. You're not, you don't have, unless you're reborn, amen? You don't have God's life. But I'm glad what God is doing, sparing Israel, protecting. Humanly speaking, Israel should have been annihilated years ago. Humanly speaking, the nations that are Arab, they're outnumbered. I can remember in 1967, how many know what I'm talking about when I say the Six-Day War? How many know that? Raise your hand if you know about the Six-Day War. Six-Day War, yeah, I'm not referring to 1867, Brother Ron, I'm referring to 1967, okay. All right. anyway, I was in college and studying for the ministry back in 1967, and here we were studying Bible prophecy, and all we could think of, it looks like Israel's not going to make this one. They were surrounded by the Arab nations. Nasty Nasser from Egypt set out to destroy them. And guess what? They were outnumbered, estimated 100 to 1 minimal. And when the Egyptians were chased back into Egypt, books began to be written. They would interview soldiers of Egypt and Israel. And they would say in Egypt, they'd ask them, well, you outnumbered Israel 100, 200 to 1. How come you lost the war? He said, we were not outnumbered. Israel was not outnumbered. We were outnumbered. He said, you can't be up. That's not true. We know the number. He said, I can tell you is, there were thousands and thousands of soldiers. Well, I'll tell you who they were. Those were angels. They were angels that God put in uniform and set there to protect Israel as a nation. God's favorite people. There are two nations I pray for daily in my prayer. I prayed early this morning. Pray for America. I pray for our military. Pray for our police officers who also are dying left and right. Try to keep us free and protect us. I name them, several that I know I name, for National Guards, who's there to protect Pelosi in Washington, D.C., and others. Oh, I'm sorry, shouldn't get on that. That's okay. Sorry, you don't mind. I shouldn't apologize for that. Anyway, I pray for them. But then I never close my prayer without praying for the peace of Israel. Now, I know this. When I pray for the peace of Israel, I am praying for the second coming of Jesus Christ, because there will be no peace given to Israel until our Lord returns. I say that ought to make you Bapticostical if you're Baptist. I pray today we'll understand the truth of that. So we see here the rebirth of Israel, the retribution of the nations, the reward of the nations that reap blessing, and then return to the land. Now, look over there. You see, this is what it, you said, well, you just dealt with that. No, that was a secular gathering. But I want you to go to the book of Amos. Now, if you don't know where that is where all the pages are stuck together in your Bible. And I want you to turn there with me. Matter of fact, I'm having a hard time finding it myself. I know it's here somewhere. Amos. And I want you to go over there, if you will, to Amos, and I want you to go to the ninth chapter, the last chapter of the book. So the fourth miracle here is the return to the land. All Israel has not returned to the land. This brother who is helping the Jews would admit they're not returning to the land yet, but one day they will. Now here, look at Amos chapter 9. Look at verse 14 and 15, and those verses ought to be highlighted in your Bible. Verse 14, I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of us, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Now when God says something, it's going to happen. And God will put Israel back in its land and back a place there and be a place of preeminence for them. So we have here, number one, we have here the reward. America's been rewarded because of its relationship with Israel. The retribution of those nations, and the nations, by the way, will fall that are against Israel. The return to the land, the rescue from final destruction. It'd be a literal miracle. There are two references I have you turn to, if you want to, or mark them. I'm only going to turn to one, and that's Revelation 12, verse 13 to 17. And those references, you have where Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. Have you heard of that battle? We talk about, use that word Armageddon to mean the final end. Well, this will be the final end of all the nations of the world as they will surround Israel. And we'll think we're going to annihilate them. We're finally going to get rid of the Jews. May I say to you, they can't get rid of Jesus and they can't get rid of the Jews. The other one I want you to mainly focus on is the book of Zechariah. And I want you to turn there, if you will, to the book of Zechariah. And I want you to turn to the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is not too far from the end of your Bible there. The last book is what? Malachi. And so you come to that 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah. And what do we see here? We see here the rescue from final destruction. Look there as the nations round. That's going to be a tremendous miracle. If you think the Six-Day War, when Israel was outnumbered, they say 100, 200, 1, whatever, and then they talked about this army that really didn't exist, humanly speaking, but God put those angels in uniforms. But look at this one. Oh, the nation. Look in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord. Again, we're talking about the second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord. Cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided into the midst of thee. Look at verse 2. I will gather all nations. Now let me tell you what the word all means in the Hebrew. Everyone. That's deep, isn't it? No, it isn't. All means all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the resident people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, I want to tell you something. You know who these armies made up that time? It will be the army coming back riding on white horses. And I hope mine's tame. I don't want to get on the back of a wild white horse. I went wrong to it, but that's okay. He could handle it. But here we have here a tremendous rescue. That is going to be a tremendous miracle yet to come. I remember the Six-Day War. I have to be honest with you. You know, I was a sophomore in college. Now, you went to college. If you all went to college, you know, sophomore. Anybody know what that word means? Wise fool. Two Greek words, sophos, moros, moron. And when I was a sophomore in college, I knew all the answers. I didn't know what the questions were, but I had all the answers. Didn't know what the questions were. And I tell you what, we were debating that, sitting around coffee. What's going to happen here? Israel's not, look, it looks like it's over with. Doubt, doubt, doubt. But God removed our doubts as Israel miraculously came out of that and will come out of it again. We've had the Old Testament, the Philistines, the Hittite, the Jebusite, the electric lights, you name all the lights, tried to destroy Israel. Couldn't do it. Miraculous nation. And then you have not only the rescue from the final destruction, that's a miracle, and then the return of Christ. I got news for you. He won't come back in Washington, D.C. He will not be meeting with Biden. I listened to, my wife says, honey, you got to listen to this. It was a Catholic priest. He could have been a Baptist. He was against all, he said, these bishops who allow a Biden to join our churches, our Catholic churches, when at the same time he wants to kill babies. He'll never join this church. I thought that guy sounded more stronger than some Baptists I know. I remember when I was, when Obama was president, and I had a bunch of good, wonderful black preachers. Good guys. I loved them all. And they were so excited that Obama was president. And they said, "Preacher, isn't it great?" I said, "No." And immediately said, "Are you a racist?" I said, "No, I'm a biblist. You can't be for a man that wants to kill babies. You can't for be a man who's against Israel." They looked at me. We didn't know all that stuff. So I guess they were ignorant. Now that's the fifth one. The sixth one is the return of Christ on the, where's he going to come back? On the Mount of Olives. By the way, that's the same place he left, the Mount of Olives. Look at verse 4. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, half of it toward the south." It'll be a big earthquake. Somebody said to me one day, he said, "Do you know that Mount of Olives is on an earthquake fault?" I said, "Well, regardless if it was or not, I guarantee it's going to shake when Christ comes back. Doesn't have to be on one now. It will shake up, and he will return on that. And every eye shall see." That's the difference between that and the rapture. Rapture, no one will see the rapture. We're just leaving this earth, but somebody coming to Christ, every eye shall see him. Wow. We get to ride on horses with him coming back. And then, number 7, receiving of the Messiah. "They will look upon whom they have perished." Well, the great evidence to me of that is an illustration of the life of Paul. And I want you to turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And I want you to go to the 9th chapter, the conversion of Saul. By the way, that's the first time, that's a conversion of a religious terrorist. Also, Paul, you know, was a religious terrorist. Did you know that? Yes, he was. He wanted to kill every Christian he could get his hands on, put them in prison, kill them. And notice here, if you will, here in verse 3, as he journeyed, the Apostle Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I've heard people say, "What was so hot that day, he had a sunstroke." That's true. Son of God struck him down. That's who did it. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And for the first time, he came to realize, as I said before, that the Jehovah he worshipped was none other than Jesus he persecuted. And Israel will come to the conclusion. They will see the prints in his hands, print in his side, in his feet. He's really the Messiah that we turned our back on 2,000 years ago. I love Israel. I pray daily for them. I remember years ago, when we were working my way through college, Marilyn was working with me, getting the training I needed, and she was worked at a store called Orbach's in California. Don't have it anymore. But I remember Mr. Nyman. He was a Jew. There was a Jewish outfit. Mr. Nyman was one of the big wigs in that large corporation. But he took a liking to Marilyn, and maybe a little with me, but he liked Marilyn. And he said, he didn't drive anymore, so older man. He said, would you take my places and help me get my shopping done? And we took him around, did his shopping for him. He bought Marilyn all kinds of Jewish candy. Never bought me any. And he said, "You know why I picked you to do this?" He said, "There's something about you that's different." And I was able to show him about his Messiah.
the Lord Jesus.
He said, well, you've given me a lot to think about. And if he's one day, he'll stand before the Lord. I hope he's in heaven. I don't know that. Jews are got to be one to Christ. We've got to reach out to them. So we see here the first reason why he come is the restoration of Israel, those seven things that will happen. Now the second one is the retribution of the nations. I'm only going to be able to just touch on that and come back to it because I want to give time to our brother to speak. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to turn it over in a minute here. And so, Brother Bach, and you'll introduce your family, then you can have prayer time. But I think I'm going to stop right here. But I'm going to go to the Psalm 2 next time. Boy, what a psalm. Wow. Nations shaking their fist in the face of God and say, we don't want you, we don't need you, we don't like you. And God laughs. I love that part. God laughs. Matter of fact, turn there. I can take a minute or two, just real quick. Turn to Psalms 2. Don't worry, I'll move along here. I'm just excited about truth. Psalm 2. I'll get to it eventually here. Just bear with me. When you're 59 years old like me, it takes a while. If you believe that, I have some swamp land for you in Charleston to build a house on. Look at Psalm 2. We'll deal with it more next week. Why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, that Jesus Christ. Saying, let's break their brands asunder. We're going to deal with that next week. He sitteth, verse 4, in the heaven and shall laugh. I like that. The Lord shall have them derision. He's just going to laugh because you think for a moment that you can act like there is no God, that I don't exist. And then he goes on to deal with their destructions. So the retribution of the nations is very real. And we don't have much time left to reach the nations for Christ. Thank God for missionaries. Thank God for Brother Bach, his family. And I want you to come, brother, and spend 5 minutes or whatever. And good to have you. I've never met you before.